and also how God can meet with us in unexpected places and sometimes in very painful and difficult times in our life. And at night as well as in the day. I don't know about you, but sometimes only when I'm trying to get to sleep or when I'm quiet does God speak to me and encourage me or challenge me when all the other voices have been crowded out. And we're going to hear today about someone who met with God in the nighttime. So thank you, Stephen. And just leave that there for now, because we're going to hear the Bible story in a moment. And today our Bible story is about Jacob. And we're going to hear about how God met with Jacob in an unexpected way. Now, we remember that Jacob was son of Isaac, who was son of Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And at this point in the story we're going to hear, Jacob had run away from home. He'd run away from his family, and his twin brother Esau was very angry with him. Why? Well, Jacob had persuaded Esau to sell his birthright, which is like his sort of claim to his father's inheritance, to sell it for a bowl of soup. Well, you'll do anything for a bowl of soup, won't you? And Jacob tricked Esau out of his father's blessing as well. So Jacob was no saint. He was not perfect by any means. He was a bit of a tricky character, as we'll hear today. So he ran off and he went to live with his uncle Laban. And while he was there, he married Leah and Rachel. It's all very complicated. And Jacob became the father of many sons. But God told Jacob that it was time for him to return home. God said, and we read these words in Scripture, in Genesis, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Well, that meant that Jacob had to face Esau, his brother, again. And it had been a lot of years that had passed, but Jacob still felt that Esau would be angry with him. So he prepared lots of peace offerings, and this is a story, as we'll hear, with a lot of action in it. He sent his wife and the maidservants all over the river, and he was going to join them later. And this is where we pick up the story, from Genesis chapter 32. And Frieda and Pat are going to come and read it to us. The words will not be on the screen because this is an interpretation of the story. So it's not word for word from the Bible, but it's pretty much tells the story.
Jacob rises.
It's night time. He wakes his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons. There is somewhere they need to go.
Jacob crosses
the ford of the river Jabbok. He leads his family across. He sends all his belongings as well. Then he returns alone. But he is not alone for long.
Jacob wrestles.
A man appears, and Jacob wrestles with the man. All through what is left of the night, up until the day breaks through the darkness.
Jacob endures.
Though he wrestles as hard as he can, the man does not overpower Jacob. So he touches the socket of Jacob's hip, and it is wrenched out of place. Then the man says, "Let me go. It's daybreak."
So Jacob bargains.
"I will only let you go if you bless me," Jacob says. "Then what's your name?" asks the man. And Jacob tells him. "That may be so," the man says, but from this moment on, your name will no longer be Jacob. You will be called Israel, for you have struggled with God and struggled with men and have overcome.
Then Jacob asks,
what is your name? He asks the man. And the man's only reply is, why? Why do you ask my name? And then he gives Jacob his blessing.
So Jacob names.
He names the place where he wrestled. He calls it Peniel, for that is the spot where he saw God face to face and yet lived to tell the tale.
Then Jacob limps.
With the sun rising above him, with the start of a brand new day, Jacob limps away from Peniel, a man with a brand new name.
I told you it was going to be a strange encounter, didn't I? Maybe some of us have heard that story just for the first time today. And this artist here has tried to picture Jacob wrestling with an angel. We don't know his name. We don't know who it was, but this was some encounter with the divine, with God himself, or with a messenger of God, like an angel. Well, wrestling is not something we do very often, is it? Unless you've fallen out with your sister or brother, and you might have a bit of a wrestle on the floor. But it is a sport. And I thought, just for us to help get in our minds what it might have been like for Jacob to be wrestling, I'm going to show you a clip from the Rio 2016 Olympics. And this is the finals of what they call the Greco-Roman wrestling. Now, I have to warn you, ladies, there are large men in leotards in this. So just control yourselves. I know what wrestling does to ladies. I'm old enough to remember World of Sport on a Saturday afternoon with giant haystacks. Giant haystacks. He was a mountain of a man. He was about 6'7" and he was about 45 stone. Well, these guys are nowhere near that, but it just gives you a feel of the skill. And what they're trying to do is to get their opponent into certain positions to basically get them onto the deck. And, enjoy this clip of the finals. Did you enjoy that? Well, strength and great skill are needed in wrestling. And we're going to now have a fun drama sketch for you to enjoy. And Joe and I are going to be two commentators watching the action unfold. And we have to apologize in advance. I don't think Elizabeth's here, but because she's American, but we have to apologize for our American accents and our stereotypes that now follow. But let's imagine that match. The Stetson, 10-gallon hat. Joe's got the $10 hat. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to a packed Riverside Stadium where the sun has set, the moon is shining, and we're ringside for what should be a epic wrestling match. Isn't that right, Crystal?
That's right, Billy Bob. There's been no wrestling match like it since your granny and grandpa fought over that last Jaffa cake.
Oh, yeah. And granny won that battle. And if you're listening in your hospital bed, get well soon, granddad. Well, tell us about tonight's contenders, Crystal.
Well, in the blue corner, it's the Old Testament giant we call Jacob. Or, as I like to call him, Jake the Snake.
Ooh, Jake the Snake. He sounds mean.
He sure is. He's one slippery customer. Since the day he was born, he's been wrestling his way through life. He even cheated his twin brother Esau out of his father's blessing. No wonder his brother wants him dead.
Oh, Crystal, that man is one sly kind of guy. Now, tell us about his opponent tonight. Who's in the red corner?
Well, Billy Bob, this man's a mystery. We don't even know this wrestler's name. We can't even see his face.
Oh, I'm thinking Kendo Nagasaki.
Oh, no, you lost me there, Bill. Oh,
never mind.
Jacob's opponent looks superhuman. Some kind of messenger from God.
Yeah, and Jacob could be heading for heaven's gate if he's not careful tonight.
Well, just check out those novelty wings. They're so realistic.
Ooh. Well, the time for talking is over. It's time for the battle to begin. Jacob, the lone warrior, versus the angelic athlete. Best of three rounds. Here goes. It's round one.
Oh, they size each other up. They're locked together. They're in a struggle. Ooh. Ouch! Ooh. Jacob is thrown to the floor.
Oh, a classic backbreaker, Crystal. That's gonna hurt Jacob big time.
But look, he's back on his feet. Look at them wrestle. This could be an all-nighter. Now, Jacob lunges at the hidden hero from heaven with a drop kick. Wow!
Oh, and he's kicked our feathered friend right down to the floor. Well, that's the end of round one. And how do you call it, Crystal?
Well, it's Jake the Snake for me, I think. And the judges agree. 1-0, Jacob.
Okay. Well, it's round two. Let's see how the Winged Wonder's gonna respond tonight.
Oh, they're locked together. What an almighty scuffle.
Oh, and it's past midnight. Let's hope we get a share of the pay-per-view income, Crystal.
Yeah, me too. This is the meat of the match now, though. Come on, the angel is working both sides of his opponent. And look, he wrestles Jacob to the floor and pins him down with a half Nelson.
Oh, that's time out. So, end of round two. How do you call that one, Crystal?
Well, it's the angel for me this time. And the judges agree. It's 1-1. That's all to play for.
Okay. Round three, the final round, it's the decider. What a titanic tangle we've got. The ungodly versus the godly. Something's gotta give.
It's epic, Billy Bob, and no one's going home yet.
Well, except the moon, because look, the day is breaking, Crystal. The sun is rising. Who's got one more move left in the locker? I can see the angel is losing ground here.
Bah, bang! He's just wrenched the hip of Jake the Snake. It looks badly dislocated. Oh, painful. Ooh. Is that an illegal move, Billy Bob?
Well, the judges will decide, Crystal. But look, Jake is fighting back. He's not giving in. He's locked onto his opponent's wings like a Velcro viper. And he's struggling, and he's not going to let that angel go. Woo! And hello, it seems they're now asking each other their name.
Well, it's a bit late for polite introductions, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, Crystal. And now Jacob seems to be demanding a blessing from his opponent.
This is so strange. Jake the Snake is giving this all he has and then some. He's certainly not leaving empty-handed today. Limping, yes. Loser, no.
Oh, and it's all over. All over. Who's done enough to convince the judges tonight in this thrilling match? Well, here comes their announcement.
It's Jake the Snake!
Oh, what a legend. What a battle. What a victory.
This contest will change Jacob forever.
Well, let's hope it changes him for the better. Make him a better man, a better brother, more of a peacemaker than a wrestler. Well, as the fans stream out of the Riverside Stadium, and we see the angel fly back home, silhouetted against a perfect sky, it's a good morning from me, Billy Bob.
And it's a good morning from me, Crystal.
So tune in next week for another epic contest. It's the
Battle for Brexit!
You liked it, Anne. You liked it. Thank you. You're my friend. Well, that was a bit of nonsense, wasn't it? But hopefully it helped you get a picture of what was happening on that night. And we're going to think about it a bit later on in our service as well. So Jacob was changed. And hopefully after that encounter, he knew God in a more personal way and knew the changes that he had to make in his life now that he was a friend of God. And we're going to think about what happened to Jacob and how that can speak to our lives today. In Genesis 32, verse 28, God tells Jacob, "You have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." You've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. So let's think about that, and don't worry about any noise or things that's going on. That's all fine as well. Three things that we learn about this event. Firstly, how Jacob faced his struggle. He faced his struggle. And we're going to put the points on the screen. Let's think about Jacob's struggle. He was all alone. His two wives, his two maids, his 11 children had crossed the river into the land of inheritance. Peace at last, we might think. But a momentous, life-changing experience awaited him. And in a very mysterious but real encounter with the divine, Jacob wrestles and struggles in the dark. And there's no doubt in Jacob's mind that this guy that he's wrestling is some kind of messenger from God. And we know at those times there was the folklore that said that by any river crossing, you met with some kind of God who would kind of maybe try and stop you going. So that's the setting. I wonder whether you today can identify with Jacob and his struggle. Have you known in your life what it is to be a wrestling Jacob? Do you know what it is to struggle in the darkness, sometimes on your own? Sometimes in life feeling that all that we know and love has left, has gone on, crossed the river, leaving us feeling cut off or isolated, feeling that the promises of God are distant. Have you felt alone? Or perhaps you know what it is to wrestle with a family member, not physically, but to struggle, to wrestle. And maybe with our faith as well, we wrestle, we have doubts and questions. And does it sometimes feel that God is contending with you, almost like your adversary, the challenger, the antagonist? Well, that's okay. Jacob's experience says it's okay. Because sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, and we don't know what's going on, we don't know why we're there, and we say to God in those times, I will not let go of you, God. Just like Jacob said, I won't let you go, God, unless you give me a blessing, even in this difficult and painful situation. I know I've been in places like that at times in my life, and I've said, well, I'm going to hold on to you, God, and I'm not going to let it go until you bless me. And in the end, that blessing comes. A wrestling match with God draws out great courage and endurance and determination within the heart of the believer. So don't think that struggle is always a bad thing. God can bring good out of it. We're challenged to face life's struggles head on. Sometimes to know that we can't go around it, we can't go over it, we've got to go through it. But God is there. We meet with God. Great struggles can bring great blessings. So face the struggle. And secondly, we can take heart today because in that struggle, he faced God. He faced God, and that's the next point. Jacob came face to face with God through his struggles. And that's good to know that in the midst of it all, in pain or loneliness or separation, even death, God is not absent. He is with us. He is real. God sees our struggle and hears our cry. God turns his face towards us in those moments. And it is the face of love and compassion. It is the face of Jesus Christ. And John Wesley wrote an amazingly long hymn about this encounter, O Come Thou Traveller Unknown. And he pictures Christ as this God-man. That in Jesus, we come face to face with God. And if you think about it, Jesus too was a wrestler. In his lifetime, he wrestled with the teachers of the law. He wrestled with his followers, drawing out faith, sometimes being exasperated with them. He wrestled with the powers of sickness and darkness. He wrestled in Gethsemane, finally submitting himself and saying, Your will, not mine, be done. And on the cross, he wrestled the greatest enemy, sin and death, and disarmed their powers. That victory being confirmed as Jesus stood on that podium with that gold medal on Easter Day as champion. So we take heart this morning. By God's grace, a blessing will be bestowed upon us when we come face to face with Jesus. And in that hymn that I mentioned, John Wesley, recalling the words of St. Paul, says, When I am weak, then I am strong. And when all of my strength shall fail, I shall with the God-man prevail. And Jacob learned something about the identity of God through this struggle. He said, Tell me your name. You know my name. I want to know who you are. And it was in the giving of his name, Jacob, that Jacob confessed his name, the one who supplants, because he'd stolen the birthright. He cheated his father and his brother. He had to confess that first. And that was all part of it, giving his name. So Jacob faced his struggle. He faced God. And lastly, he faced the sunrise. And that's the last point. He faced the sunrise. By God's grace, Jacob lived to see another day. He came face to face with the living God, and he was spared. The daybreak heralded a new day, and Jacob was a new man, a better man, a more humble man. If you read on in this story, you would read how Jacob, leaving behind armies and weapons to defend himself against his brother if he was still angry, he's just simply met with him and they embraced and they were reconciled. There were tears of joy. And the gospel parallel is the story of the prodigal son. Both men stole from their father. Both lived life on the run. Both were wrestling inside, but finally came to their senses. And both were humbled and reconciled. So as he faced the sunrise, he was changed. And he was given a new name, Israel. It's a name with two meanings. It means one who strives with God. And that certainly was Jacob. But it can also be translated, as we hear it, Israel, is that God strives. That God strives. God struggles on behalf of his people. God strives on behalf of the poor. He is the defender of the weak. He is the just judge. And through Jesus, we know that a new day is breaking, that sunrise is coming for our world. The darkness is being scattered more and more as Jesus Christ and his kingdom are rooted and reign on our earth. And as Christians, we are walking in the light of that new day now. That's true. The sun has risen. Jesus is alive. The night of sin and death is over. That narrow stream has been crossed. So Jacob was changed. But of course, he still had the battle scars. The verse 31 tells us, the sun rose upon Jacob as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And every step that Jacob took into his future, even to the day that he died, when on his deathbed he remembered, as it says in scriptures, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, he would be reminded of that night. He limped as he went on his way. And that is significant for us as well, because with every step that we take into our future, we do bear the wounds and the scars of our past struggles, both human and divine. But by God's grace, his healing grace, he restores us and he gives us the power to go on walking, to keep going forward towards the sunrise as we submit to him. Daybreak is coming because the Son of Man is coming. So may God give us grace today and in these weeks ahead, whatever we're facing, May God grant us the grace that we need so that it will be said of us at the last. We face the struggle. Through it, we came face to face with God. And, yes, limping on, but knowing that we're facing the sunrise and we're walking towards his day. Amen.